All right, Rodney Dangerfield's fidgety delivery, self-deprecating humor, and catchphrase, I don't get no respect, made him a comedy icon in nightclubs on television and in the movies. But Rodney's long road to stardom was as rocky as his real life. Born Jacob Cohn in 1921 to a cold-hearted mother and absentee father, anxiety-prone Jacob found escape from reality by writing and performing jokes. Led to 10 years going nowhere in the toilets of the club circuit, and what followed was marriage, fatherhood, selling aluminum siding, depression, self-doubt, and debt, and that's when he decided to give comedy one last shot. An honest, moving, and funny portrait of the real Rodney Dangerfield, the book Nothing Comes Easy, The Life of Rodney Dangerfield, gives the legend, the man, the father, and the friend all the respect he deserves. The author is my friend Michael Starr, television reporter, columnist for the New York Post for over 30 years, and he joins us here once again on WGN. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. Thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
Love, love, love all your books. And I have to say, you've written, I mean, you are the ultimate biographer. Ringo Starr, Red Fox, Don Rickles, Joey Bishop, William Shatner, Art Carney, Peter Sellers, Bobby Darin, Raymond Burr. Like, what brought you now to Rodney?
You know, I'd always been interested in Rodney as a person and a personality. And it was coming up on the 20th anniversary of his death, which was in 2004, and I figured, you know what? People are still talking about Rodney. He's still such a lightning rod and still so beloved that it was time to sort of give him his due and, basically cover his entire life and from his birth until his death in 2004.
How many rabbit holes do we go down on social media, on YouTube, and just start watching Rodney, and you just can't stop? A lot of comedians like that, but Rodney was the best.
Yeah, he was. And especially, you know, you mentioned when you and I were talking before with Don Rickles. Rodney and Don Rickles on The Tonight Show were just so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when people think of Rodney today, they probably more so think of him on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson and basically, you know, knocking Johnny out of his chair with laughter every time he was on. And just this rat-tat-tat of jokes, like a rapid-fire machine gun a lot of jokes that Rodney had, one after another, and even if one didn't sort of hit, he was coming on with the next one 2 seconds later, and you didn't even think about it.
You didn't. I would say he would do his routine, he would come sit down with Johnny to do panel, but he would pretty much just continue his act because he was uncomfortable really just being himself. He would just do more jokes and more jokes, and I remember there was one where he kind of ran out of content, and they both kind of stared at each other. He goes, well, I guess we're done here, because there was no further conversation at that point. He was always on.
He was on, and especially when he made those Tonight Show appearances, he mapped out his appearances on Johnny's show on sort of like a spreadsheet. He had like over 200 jokes, believe it or not, for each appearance. He didn't tell them all, but he would map out what he was going to do when he came out to do his monologue, what he was going to do when he sat down with Johnny, possible jokes to do if Johnny changed the subject, which he often did. And so he was a craftsman. I don't think people realize that when they think of Rodney, they just think of a guy getting up there and telling jokes. But, you know, to have that many jokes and to have that many jokes hit their mark time after time, it takes such a fertile comic mind for that to happen. And that certainly was Rodney Dangerfield in a nutshell.
I have to say, in your books, you know, every book that you write is very different in its approach. And with Rodney, you know, you went back and forth to his early days, back to his middle years, his final years, and then you filled in between. Really enjoyed it because it kind of got me on board of where he started, what decisions he made later in life that were really affected by his early life. I just thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I don't think casual fans of Rodney Dangerfield know his history in show business, which started when he started out when he was 19 in the Catskills writing jokes and doing an act. And then for 10 years in the 1940s, that was the first iteration of his stand-up, his quote-unquote stand-up comedy career. He was an MC doing impersonations and telling corny jokes. And he was working the clubs in and around New York City and elsewhere in his 20s, but he wasn't that successful doing that. And he did that for about 10 years, from 1940 to 1950 or 51. And he decided that at that point he had met a woman in the club, a singer named Joyce Indig, who became his wife. They met in one of the clubs. And he decided to chuck his comedy career to become a married man and a father and sort of settle into suburban life, which was sort of sort of his antithesis, really, if you think about it. He was a kid who grew up in the city.
Yeah.
But he figured he couldn't make a living supporting a wife and then, you know, a child down the road doing what he was doing, making, you know, $200 on a good weekend. So he decided to go into business selling aluminum siding and paint in northern New Jersey. And he did that for about for the decade of the 50s up until about 1960 or 61 full time. And he was pretty successful. Although he, you know, in his aluminum siding career, I mean, he was a good joke teller. He could relate to people. And he was at that point known as Jack Roy. He was born Jacob Cohen.
Yeah, he had a bunch of names, stage names, side names, whatever you call it. There was a bunch before he became Rodney, right?
Yes, he was born Jacob Cohen, and then his father was a vaudevillian name. His name was Phil Cohen, but he took the vaudeville name of Phil Roy. So when Jacob Cohen decided to start writing jokes and forging his own career in comedy, he called himself Jack Roy, taking the Roy name from his father. And that was the name under which he performed in the 40s. And he kept the name Jack Roy in the 50s when he was selling aluminum siding and paint. But when he decided to come back into the showbiz, he never sort of left showbiz behind. I mean, yes, he wasn't telling jokes every night and he wasn't getting up and saying, but he was writing jokes all through the 50s and telling them to his customers and his clients. And he really was hungering to get back into the game. So around 1961, he was still known as Jack Roy then, and he wanted to get back. And he had an act that he had worked out, and he approached a club owner in Brooklyn, New York,
mm-hmm.
at a club that he had played once. He had played several times before in the 40s in his first iteration as a comedian.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, don't advertise me as Jack Roy because people might remember that I was that guy who bombed the first time around.
Ah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
You know, my act is a lot better this time. So just pick a name, any name, when you advertise me. And the club owner picked the name of Rodney Dangerfield and put that name in the paper. And that name stuck. And then he became from Jacob Cohen to Jack Roy to Rodney Dangerfield.
I want to go back to when you were talking about, Rodney's dad being in vaudeville. He really didn't have a relationship with his dad. You've been very clear that his mom was a cold one. They really didn't have a relationship either. And it's just such a typical story of a comedian where tragedy from tragedy becomes comedy. It's the formula that we're so familiar with, right?
Right. Searching for love and adulation on the stage and getting it from an audience as opposed to, since he got no love from his mother and as you mentioned, his father, who was a vaudevillian, was constantly on the road. And Rodney saw him maybe twice a year, maybe for 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And they had no relationship. You know, his father would take him to Coney Island or whatever and buy him an ice cream and then take him back to the city and go on his merry way. And so, you know, he came from a broken home where he was left to his own devices a lot of the time. And, you know, he found his refuge in joke writing.
Sure.
And that continued throughout his life and his career.
You also noted in the book, and there's a million stories in this book. I'm just sharing a few of them. But like, even when he was selling aluminum siding, he got himself into trouble. It was like fraud, like arrested by the FBI in the 1950s. So he was really trying to find himself. I mean, he struggled for a long time.
He did, he was arrested by the FBI in a sting operation targeting aluminum siding salesmen who would go in on these schemes to defraud the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA. Where they would put in for loans at more than they really needed, and they would split the difference with the homeowner for aluminum siding or paint or whatever it was. And Rodney was Jack Roy at that point was arrested by the FBI. Right. He didn't serve any time. He ended up paying about $1,000 fine and behaved himself after that. But he was trying to find himself. But I think he always knew deep down that he belonged on the stage.
Yeah.
And so when he was 40. You know, around 40, he decided to get back into show business. And it's remarkable that at that late stage of his life and career, he made it. And he made it so big that today we're still talking about him.
The book is Nothing Comes Easy, The Life of Rodney Dangerfield. Michael Starr is the author, and there's more with him next. No, Dave Pyor, 720 WGN. The new book is Nothing Comes Easy, The Life of Rodney Dangerfield. We are talking to the author, Michael Starr. Ed Sullivan, Dean Martin, Jackie Gleason put Rodney on, and it really took off for him. But it was really Sullivan, though, that really made a difference for him.
Yes, Rodney was based in New York, and the apogee of success for a stand-up comedian in those days, if it wasn't the Tonight Show with Carson, it was getting onto the Ed Sullivan Show on CBS, which had an audience of 30, 35 million a week. And Rodney was so hell-bent on getting onto the show, he begged and pleaded with his agent to get him on, to get him anything affiliated with the show. And they actually hired him to warm up the audience in one of Ed's...
Read that. Mm-hmm.
Cold show, you know, not the actual show, but before the show. And they were so entranced by Rodney's act that they actually hired him as a regular on the actual Ed Sullivan Show. And he made his debut. He was 45 years old.
Crazy.
And that really rocketed his career into the stratosphere.
I know, we were saying like he was born over almost 105 years ago. So, you know, it just tells you how late in life he really became successful. And that was the late 60s. And really right after it kind of taken off with Ed and Dean and Jackie is that, you know, he built his own comedy club, which was kind of unheard of the day in the late 60s. I know he wanted to be around, I think, his kids more, but that club was around for more than 50 years with big names on that stage.
Yeah, his club Dangerfields opened in September of 1969, and it was a huge success almost from the get go. Jack Benny would show up, Gleason would show up, all the big Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, all the big names would show up, and the club was such a success. You're right, Dave. In its former as the club called Dangerfields, it lasted from 1969 through 2020, when it had to shut down due to COVID. And then it opened up again under a different name. But Rodney was able to plug the club when he was doing his stand-up appearances. And when he wasn't on the Ed Sullivan Show or on Carson, he could plug his club. And it was a big hangout for New Yorkers and mobbed-up guys and cops and everybody under the sun. You talk to a lot of people who live in this area, and, oh, yeah, I went to Dangerfields, or my prom night, we went there, or, you know, everybody has a story about going to Dangerfields. And Rodney played there often in the early days, but he became so big and so popular that he had to cut back his appearances after a while. And after about 5 or 6 years, he wasn't even playing his own club anymore. But he kept the name, and he would show up every once in a while, and it was an extremely successful stand-up comedy club when there weren't that many in those days. In the 60s and early 70s until the boom in the mid 70s and the early 80s, and the comedy club scene became so huge.
You know, you talked about, and then, you know, the Tonight Show, 70 appearances on Johnny's show, which is a high number to be on and be invited back. But the 80s was a big time for Rodney. I mean, Grammy for his album, movies, Easy Money, Back to School. How was he handling fame at that point?
You know, I think Rodney handled fame well, because he was at an age where he had seen how hard it was to get where he had gotten, and he had a certain perspective on show business, and he knew it could all, you know, crumble up in a minute. So he kept on working, and you mentioned the 80s, yes, with Caddyshack, which is his first mega successful movie, and then Easy Money and Back to School, which was, I think, his most financially successful movie. And he was making commercials for Miller Lite beer.
Yes, he was
making rap videos. Mm-hmm. He was rapping Rodney. I mean,
he
made himself available to a whole new generation of fans, younger people who really came to sort of view him as the godfather of comedy because he appealed to their sensibilities.
You know, I think the late night hosts all had their favorites, you know, Johnny, even of today, the Kimmels, the Fallons and so forth. But I feel like Jay Leno was really the big fan of Rodney, and they had a personal friendship as well.
Yes. And Rodney appeared many when Carson left and Jay Leno took over. Rodney appeared on Jay Leno's Tonight Show many times. Famously had when he was celebrating his 80th birthday, he suffered a heart attack while he was doing the show afterwards. They brought out a cake.
Yeah, he was struggling.
Rodney.
Yeah.
And Jay noticed something was amiss. They called the paramedics and went backstage, and it turned out he had a small heart attack. But yes, they were, again, Jay's audience was a little hipper and middle of the road, but which suited Rodney well. And he did make many, many appearances with Jay Leno on The Tonight Show and appeared on the other shows as well, but probably that was the most ubiquitous his presence was in late night in those years.
I've heard Jay Leno tell the story that he went to visit Rodney in the hospital, and he said, Rodney, if you're awake and you can hear me squeeze my finger, and he squeezed his finger and he said, well, that's not my finger. Which is fantastic. You could tell the personal relationship that they had, you know.
Yes, and Rodney, whatever state he was in, I'm sure he appreciated that.
The book is Nothing Comes Easy, The Life of Rodney Dangerfield. Just touched upon a few of the stories. So much to learn about this man. Michael Starr is the author. Great bio again, Michael. Amazing, amazing work as always. And thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.